Hey, this is Frank Todaro,
otherwise known as Starscream.
And you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into the Transformers fandom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
So you are now the number two Beast Wars fan.
No.
Okay. I know as of this...
Not on my show.
I know. As of this recording, you have not listened to that episode I recorded with Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast from the Transmissions podcast, but... Just go listen to it when you get done with this, because it isn't really a, like, he likes the Beast Wars toys, but he has no interest in the show or any, like,
where is it his Beast Wars or Beast Wars 2?
So,
because Beast Wars 2 and Beast Wars Neo are not.
No, they are not the same. But again, if you go listen to the episode, he explains why he gave himself the name of the number, and it's just a big joke. It's all in fun. It's not, you know, it's not the end of the world here.
It could be. You don't know.
No. Trust me, it's not. So we are here in another episode of All Things Transformers, and we're going back to my childhood.
We are?
Yes. It was 1986, so... Ooh. You were... Because I don't have the actual... See, that's the one thing I don't like about copyright dates sometimes, is that they don't always... They give you the year, obviously, but they don't give you the, like, month of the year that... You know what I mean? So, 1986, I was 6 years old. If this was the end of the school year... From 1985, you know what I mean? Like that whole thing, or the new school year, you were either born or you weren't born yet.
Yep.
And 6 year old me, oh boy. Whew. Yeah, and I'm actually looking at the Wikipedia or the TF Wiki article about it, and it doesn't, it just says copyright 86. It does not give a year. So, anyway, we are here to talk about a Transformers book. This is one of the Transformers storybooks from Marvel Books. A big looker storybook is what it says. The Transformers, more than meets the eye. The story of Wheelie, the wild boy of Quintesson. Okay, first of all, just want to say for the record, folks, yes, we know the planet is called Quintessa. Yes, we know the five robot head bots are the Quintus, like, we get it. But with how this story is written, calling him the wild boy of Quintesson and calling the planet Quintesson, it makes more sense than having to redo it almost 40 years later. So this is written and illustrated by people I do not know. I have never known. The screenplay was done, obviously, by Ron Friedman, written by Sonia Black Woods, and illustrated by Earl Norum. This is basically a 24-page storybook, and it's basically the story of how... It's basically the section in the movie where they find, you know, Skip Scare over there. That's a ship. Who cares, as long as it flies? So it's a alternate version of that. Think of this as one of those...
What if?
Script. Yeah, what if? Or think of this as one of those script things that never came to light. like one of the screenplays that Ron Friedman wrote for the film, but never actually happened. Because Wheelie, now get this, and the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because I wanted to talk about this in order to bring up how I started reading as a kid. Like, at this point, I'm in first grade, I believe, just leaving kindergarten, going into first grade. So I was learning to read. I was 6 years old. You know, I mean, I'm sure I'd read little golden books and things like that, but I didn't start reading Berenstain Bears until like second grade. So anyway, the story has Wheelie and his parents crash land on Quintessa in a corkscrew ship. We know the corkscrew ships were the Quintesson ships. So how could a family of Autobots have a corkscrew ship? Whatever. You know what I mean? So that's different. The fact that they mention that he has parents. And I think this goes to the fact of we don't want to mess with the whole Vector Sigma thing. We don't want to mess with the whole Primus thing. Not that Primus was a real major, major thing back then, but like in order for young boys to read this, if this young boy of Quintesson is crash landing, of course, how's this isn't, even though this was done in the 80s, not a lot of kids flew by themselves, even though I flew by myself a few times. Anyway, point is that I think they did this to say, hey, this will be more relatable to the children who read it kind of thing. And what I love is in this book is it each page is like paragraph and a half on one side and then a giant really nice illustration on the other side. So it reads fairly, fairly well. And they explain how scary the Quintessons are and how each side, you know, has five heads. And, you know, they explain how evil and vicious the Constructicons. Wow, that's not what I mean. The Sharkticons are. And it goes to show you of how Wheelie is a survivor and how he was too fast for them. And then it's basically him out in the middle of the jungles of Quintessa with his little blade that he eventually... He has his slingshot and he has like this little... It's kind of like Megatron's blade that he stabbed Prime with, kind of. But there's an image of him here where he has like, I want to say it's like one of the leis you would get if you went to Hawaii kind of thing. But it isn't. Actually, I think it's a necklace made of Sharkticon teeth is what it is. So he has this around his neck and he's going to survive being on Quintesson. So, compared to Wheelie, the boy Autobot Hot Rod had a very carefree life on Earth. He was never lonely because he had a lot of Autobot friends. The wise old Autobot Cup and girl Autobot RC were two of them. Sludge, Slag, Swoop, and Grimlock were his Dinobot friends. The reason why I'm saying reading this part of the book is because the book specifically is titled The Wild Boy of Quintesson. So I think, and this is just my own personal opinion here, that they were doing the whole, this is a boy, this is a girl, this is a, so kids could learn the difference in the genders kind of thing. That's just my own personal thing. So we basically have the scene where they're loading up the ship. But instead of the ship being loaded up for them to escape, it's so they can bring supplies to the base on the moon, the second moon of Cybertron, which is essentially Moon Base 2 where Bumblebee and Spike were. This does not say anything about Optimus. This does not say anything about a battle. This does not say anything about anything. And the only three we see, besides the Dinobots, the only main Autobots we see are Hot Rod, RC, and Cup. So imagine me, little six-year-old me, not seeing... I didn't see the movie in theaters. I didn't see the movie until maybe 87, I think. When again, back then, the physical media release from theatrical release was 6 months to a year, if not longer. So I think I read this first. This does not have Springer in it anywhere at all. Doesn't even mention him, Ultra Magnus, Blur. Doesn't mention anybody. So this is what I think of when I think of, oh, that's why I call Springer a home wreckin' mofo. Because I never, as a child, I never knew the damn character. So they all, you know... So the Autobot ship takes off, and then somehow the Quintessons, or what is it here? It's, the flight was smooth sailing at first, but as they flew deeper into space, the ship began to rattle and sputter uncontrollably. So the ship is going to basically crash land, and it lands safely, but it lands on Quintesson. So this is how they meet up with Wheelie, and we see in one of these panels, the actual panel that is the cover of the book, Wheelie flinging the fire rocks with his little slingshot here. The stuff that hit Grimlock in it. Why, boy, hit my nose. You know. So the Autobots land. Wheelie is in front of them, but the Sharktacons and the Quintessons are behind them, so the Autobots don't see him. It's an ambush. Wheelie saves them. And this next page, page 18 out of 24... says, once the Quintessons were out of sight, Wheelie turned to go. Wait, who are you? Hot Rod asked. Wheelie stopped and stared at the strangers, puzzled. Could they be his own kind, finally come to rescue him, he wondered. He answered Hot Rod. Wheelie, my name. Wheelie asked, same. Hot Rod introduced everyone to their newfound ally. They all had questions for Wheelie. What are you doing here? Are there others like you? How long have you lived here? Before long, each side knew the other's story. Suddenly, Wheelie said, Quintessons return to finish fight. Wheelie say, get out of sight. He led Hot Rod and his group away from the crash area. So, on this page, on the very next page where the images are, you have the Dinobots and Cup kind of bringing up the rear. You have Wheelie leading them, RC right behind Wheelie, and then Hot Rod right behind RC. This is just me and my craziness, folks. I look at this image and I see Wheelie as Mowgli from the Jungle Book. Hot Rod is Baloo the Bear and Cup is Bagheera the Panther. I don't know who RC would be. No clue. But literally, I'm looking at this image and I see Jungle Book characters, and it's all because Wheelie has this Sharktacon necklace around his neck. And there's another fight. The Dinobots transform into the dinosaur modes and all that with the Quintessons. And, you know, Wheelie helps them get to the corkscrew ship, which Hot Rod immediately fixes up. Hot Rod sees what the problem is. And one of my friends on Facebook, I believe he's also a friend of Pecan Court Michael, Michael Wilson, sorry, Jim, but I'm going to call you out. I posted about this, and I just posted, hey, I got this. I remember this from my childhood. This is the title of it. And he's like, but wasn't the planet named Quintessa? And I'm like, yeah, but that would make no sense with how this book is written and whatever else. And, you know, so instead of leaving Wheelie behind, they bring him with him, obviously, and, you know, at the end of it, Hot Rod says, wait a minute. We're not leaving you behind. Climb aboard, friend. Wheelie smiled, eagerly climbed into the spaceship as they sped off to the blue yonder. Wheelie gazed at the planet which was home for such a long time. He sighed a deep sigh and said, Wheelie gone from Quintesson. This book is just something that I had remembered barely. And what I remember about it is I always had it checked out of the school library at the time. And I think I ended up maybe, and my mom probably killed me for this, ended up incurring maybe $50 in late fees because I would never return it. I always wanted to read it as a kid. And I would just read it and read it and read it and read it. And this was my smaller version of Transformers the movie for a long time until I actually got scarred by the death of Optimus Prime. You know, so there is that. It's just a fun little thing. It's just a fun little memory. And I love on the back of it, it says, look for these other great Transformers books. Transformers sticker adventures, Transformers supersized coloring books, Transformers hardcover storybooks, and Transformers coloring and activity books. So, I don't know. It's just, I wanted to do something different with this episode of the podcast because as much as we're going to talk about at least one news item here in a few moments, I just don't want ATTF to just be us reacting to the news. And while we've been sort of more positive with the news lately, sometimes the news can make us not want to be positive.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is a piece of Transformers history because it's, like I said, it's a 24-page mini version of the movie that takes out everything else except for that one section, which is the section on Quintesson. Like, it doesn't even say about, you know, it shows him that the Quintessons are going to feed him to the Sharktacons, but it doesn't, you know, doesn't show Slag, you know, knocking down the door or any of that kind of stuff. Doesn't show Slag and Grimlock fighting. Doesn't show Hot Rod fixing Cup or any of that. It's just solely focused on Wheelie. And I really want... Wheelie gets such a bad rap. Like, look, I get it. The character is what the character is or what he was. I would love for a really great Wheelie story to be written, whether it's in rhyme or not. But that's part of his character. That's part of who he is. But the fact that this says he had parents and he came from somewhere and then, you know, whatever. Like, because if you watch the movie, he's just there. There's no real explanation. He's just there. I mean, you know, so it's just another one of those little things that remind me of why I like the Transformers franchise so much.
So I get it.
Yep.
Who say that?
Me, Grimlock fool?
Pity you not. No fool you not.
Me, Grimlock, no like you. Ow! Why, boy, hit my nose?
Really say find friends today.
Me Grimlock say we on our way.
All right, and the only news story I wanted to bring up is something we've already talked about recently. We had mentioned that the Legacy Wave 1 Voyager was out at UK retail. I saw PR retweet an image from some other account, and we talked about the new packaging, the Legacy packaging with the no window where you could just reach in and touch the figure.
Which I always found baffling.
Yeah, yeah. I would rather have the closed box packaging than this. I don't even mean the window packaging. I mean the new supposedly, you know, the 2022 packaging that's coming, the closed. So somebody... somewhere, I don't know where this is, but somebody somewhere pulled off Bulkhead's head from the Bulkhead Legacy figure. That, why would you?
Because people are scum.
That's true.
I mean, honestly, why would you steal? Like, I get that plastic's going up in price. I get that, you know, you can make a killing on scalping people on eBay or... that you can make a killing with parts on eBay, but don't be a scumbag. Like, just be honest. If you own it, go for it. Like, I'm butchering a War for Cybertron Galvatron, and I have plenty of parts.
Right.
But I got the figure.
Yeah. Yeah, you bought it. You can do with it what you want to it. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. There's no reason to steal.
No. Stealing is bad, folks. It is the eighth commandment, after all. Do not steal.
If you don't know that, not to steal, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
So I think the more of these that we see with missing heads.
Yes.
I think they're going to go back to the old packaging.
Oh, they better.
Or at least putting the plastic window in. I get they're trying to save plastic. I really do.
Yeah.
They're better off just putting the whole thing in cardboard.
Yeah. Like nobody's asking them to not. Like, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, it should be all plastic. No. In the background of this image that I will hopefully link, it shows a picture of, I believe it's Scourge.
It's one of the sweeps, but it's the same
thing. Okay, whatever.
It's got the clear plastic.
Yeah, but it's got the clear plastic window packaging. And, you know, if we're not supposed to be doing that anymore, then go to full cardboard, all-enclosed packaging. I mean, I get it. They want the children of the world to be able to see the figure, but I've seen so many of these types of packagings that, and most of the time when I did see them, they were like preschool kids' toys at the dollar store that some kid has ripped open. Like these open book box, whatever packagings, they don't last.
No.
Because kids will be like, ooh, I can touch the figure. Yay, I'm going to rip his head off.
Yeah. Well, or it's people just, oh, I want that head for a custom. You know, I mean, I saw a Kingdom Beast Megatron with a shattered piece of plastic in the front.
Oh,
and
damn.
Like just it was the box. The figure was fine. Yeah. But I mean, you know, in the back of your head, you're like, I need the head. But, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, I'm not scum.
So. No. Yeah. Because
then you're don't ruining that figure, like that entire figure for someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, don't be scum, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I try my best not to be scummy, but, you know, there are just certain things. This is why I'm glad I'm really not into the toy thing. I mean, I am still, but I'm like, I'm not even buying Funko stuff anymore. Hell, can't even buy Funko Transformers anymore because they put them behind non-fungible whatever the hell, so... But yes, just a quick little episode this time around talking about Wheelie, the wild boy of Quintesson. Like I've already said, I just felt like talking about something different. And in the next episode, Megatron is going to be giving us his mega customs. So tune in for that. Would you like to give people a preview before we close this one out?
A preview?
Some sort of audio something like, I'm Beast Megatron and I'm on the gurney or whatever, I don't know.
Well, it seems I would be working on a new body. Yes, sans a beast mode.
Yeah, it's got all robotics in it.
Yes.
All right, you can tune in to that next time here on All Things Transformers, and be sure to follow. I am at TFG and Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio at All Things TFB3. You are at what, sir?
At SCP-21.
And Megatron, he has a Twitter, doesn't he?
At BWTF Megatron.
No.
No, idiot. It's at BW _ Megatron. Yes.
See, you know, oh, God. We're all going to hell.
Speak for yourself. Yes. We'll be right back.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.